Tanya Rabbeisai, our limud of halacha every day, is as a zechus for the refuah of Yosef ben Chayla, hishtav refuah shleima b'korov, b'sai shal chayli Yisrael. Amen. So just to conclude our various discussions about making a siyum masechta in the 9 days, question is, the basic question is it also umuta to time the siyum, especially in the 9 days, in order that you can eat meat? Yeah. So that's really the question. And what he says here, I'm quoting now from the Piskei Tshuvas. What he says is as follows. He brings down various shittas. Yeah, and he says that he has one, he has tsurufim lakan lakan. One very interesting machshava that he has is, he brings down that vibalt, he says the whole issur will only be, according to the way he understands it, the issur will be, if I finish my masechta a few weeks ago, or I finish my masechta a few months ago, and I'm making the siyum in the 9 days, yes, I'm timing it deliberately so that I can eat. But he said that would only be if I finished the entire masechta right up to the last line, right up to the last word, then. So the siyum's the masechta's finished. I ought to be making the siyum now. I didn't make the siyum, and I'm timing it so that I can make my siyum during the 9 days. But he said, vibalt, there's a minhag Yisrael, that we don't learn right up to the last word. We leave 10 lines, let's say, or 20 lines, the last chelek of the masechta, we leave to learn at the siyum, so that actually the siyum happens at the time when you're finishing. So he says, l'choyer, he says, if you didn't finish the masechta beforehand, and you left the last few lines, and at the siyum, last night, right, we learnt the last 10 lines of Makkos, yeah, which happened to be the inyan of Rabbi Akiva, seeing the Mokam HaMikdosh, Shualim Hilchavoy, famous Gemara at the end of Makkos. So therefore, but we left the last few lines. So when did we finish the Masechta? We finished the Masechta last night. We didn't finish the Masechta a few months ago. We almost finished the Masechta a few months ago. And we finished the Masechta at the siyum. So he says, in that case, there shouldn't be any Yissa. He says, and then he brings Tzodim Lakan Lakan, where there are various poskim who say that you can or that you can't, and whether you can time it or you can't time it. And then he says at the end, he says, Omnom. And I mean, there is a certain sort of a Hasidish Nitiya towards making Siyumim, and there's a Litvish Nitiya towards not making Siyumim during the 9 days. Yeah? So he says, Omnom, he says at the end, Ein le no kein, and he's a Hasidish who's writing. Yeah, he says, Ein le no kein, elamisha Kabbalah biyodeim, merabesem tzadike kamoi. If you have a Kabbalah from previous generations, from Rabbonim, you have a Kabbalah that there's a Ninyan Dafka to make a Siyum Masechta and to make a Sudas Mitzvah during the 9 days. He says, then, Dilav Hochi Ein Lozuz Medivri HaShulchan Aruch V'Haposkim De'Ein L'Shai Oylemahe G'day L'Sayim Siyum B'Yomim Ho'elu. He says, Pashkus, he says, the Pashtus of, will say, without this shtick that I just mentioned, that I'm actually finishing the Masechta on the day. But if I were to finish the Masechta earlier and then want to make the Siyum later, he says, if you have a Kabbalah and it's your Minhag, and there is a tradition in your particular family, or in your particular group, or in your particular shul, or whatever it is, your kehillah, if there is such a tradition that we make siyumim, then by all means follow the minhag. He says, but if not for that, then he says the pashtus of Shulchan Aruch, and the pashtus of most of the poskim is, that one should not time a siyum specifically during the 9 days, in order to be able to... in order to be able to eat meat and to drink wine.
Started at the Torreway, Northwest London, Thursday, Vov of 31st of July, Rabbi Aaron Hirsch Schlitter, Longing for the Geula. This week's Torah is sponsored by Family Kalmi Adler, the presence of Mitzvah of Shimi, Neriyah of Shabbat Yvatan, Shemis, Gultura Rob, Huskin, or Rob Nathas, Schus Hashwem, Vachayolem, Vamilchamosh, Yatsul Votem, Le Shalom, Bim Heiro.
Good morning. So, yesterday was the Yahrzeit of the Ari, the Arizal, on the 5th of Av. And next week, in exactly a week from now, is the onset of the Megala Amukos. He's buried on the Yud Gimel. Exactly a week, he is buried in Krakow. And I would like to mention a couple of ideas that are written by these Gedolim. But we will start with the Maharal. Maharal has a Sefer Netzach Yisrael in which he deals with Geula, he deals with the idea of Klal Yisrael going through the ages, going through the centuries. And interestingly, given that it is a Sefer that is there to explain redemption, he starts with dealing with Golus. Because, as he puts it, in order to understand something, you have to know its opposite. And when you understand the opposite, you will understand the Geula itself. Golus, he says, is something which is out of its normal Seder. It's not in the place it is supposed to be. It has been displaced, it has been removed. That is the concept of Golus. And he goes on to say that the difference between Golus and Geula is seen in two almost identical words, the word Golo and the word Goal. Golo has a hey, denoting the idea that we are taken in four separate directions when we go into Golus. It isn't just that there are four Golios, but these are Arba Kamfos Oretz. This is the dislocation, the removal from the place of origin that we go through. Whereas Goal refers to the Aleph, the unity, the inherent Achdus, which is there when we are either initially in the place we should be, or when we are returning to the place that we should be. And how, in that case, do we return? How do we get back if we are experiencing a matzah of exile? So he says, because the hay talks indeed about the four different places, or four different directions that a person or a nation is sent in, but there's a fifth, because there's an inherent achdus, an inherent koyach of a sense of origin that never leaves us. And that is the basis of Geula. So Golus is pizur, is being scattered, and Geula is being gathered back to that singular place, to that singular point where we originate. And he says, of course, this doesn't only apply geographically. It's not only the fact that we are taken to Arba Kamfos Oretz from, I don't know, southern Argentina to northern Canada. It's not that we inhabit over the years of Golus every place on earth which is not Eretz Yisrael, but Golus refers to the idea of being scattered, of being away from the place that we should be occupying. And the idea is as follows. There are only two things which in my existence I refer to as being one, as having a singular unit. There are only two things that I can always refer to in this way. One is obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad. One of the Ikrei Emunah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad. But this means that I view HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence through the lens of this concept of singularity, of oneness, of a lack of pizur, of not being multiplicity. The other thing I see as Echad is myself. I am Tefes, I understand my own consciousness as a oneness, as a singularity. Those are the only two things. If either of those is not as it should be, I am in Golus. Golus does not require me to be living outside of Eretz Yisrael. Golus does not require me to be living at a time where there's no Beis HaMikdosh. Horaya, the Greek exile, took place when there was a Beis HaMikdosh and when the Jews were in Eretz Yisrael. Golus means that I have moved away from that singular point, from a place where I understand inherently Hashem Echad, or I understand my unity, my sense of self. The moment I do not experience one of those two, I am in Golus. The moment I have Sveikis, not necessarily in believing that there is more than one power that runs the world, but Sveikis in my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in my emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The moment I don't see that everything in this world is governed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm in Golus. Equally, the moment I do not understand my own tachlis and my own abilities and my inherent having a chelek eloika mimal, in a neshama which was put into me by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the moment I do not see myself as having unique inherent value, I'm in Golus. And only when I am able to see these as they should be, have I experienced Geula. And it is true of Torah as well. We know of the concept of Teiku, that at the end of time, Tishbi Yataritz Kushis Vibois. Why? Because we need to experience the inherent unity of Torah in order to fulfill the idea of Kodesh Baruch Hu v'Yisrael v'Yiraisa Chada. Now, what the Maral adds is that the state of Golus is an unnatural one. The natural place that a person should be is where they understand Hashem Echad, and when they are Tefes, when they understand who they are. If that is the case, that it is an unnatural occurrence to be in Golus, then we know that Geula will happen. It's an unnatural place to be. It's taking an elastic band and stretching it. Its natural place is not to be there. And therefore we know we will go back to a place of Geula. Now, to understand this in its depth, he brings the Gemara, where Ben Zoma says to the Chachamim, something that we reference on Seder night, will we be mentioning coming out of Mitzrayim at a time where the final Geula takes place? Does it not say, Hine yomim bo'im v'lo yomru chai Hashem ashehelo es Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim? Ki im chai Hashem ashehelo v'ashehevi es zera beis Yisrael me'eretz tzafoino umikol ho'arotzois ashehidachtim shoma. Surely, the Pasuk tells us that we will no longer be referencing the Yetzias Mitzrayim. We'll be referencing the final Geula. So they said to him, Loishete oker Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not that Yetzias Mitzrayim will be completely displaced, but Yetzias Mitzrayim will be tofel. In the same way, they prove their case by saying, the Torah tells us, Lo yikore shimcho Yaakov ki im Yisrael yeshmecho. Your name will no longer be Yaakov, it will be Yisrael. And three psukim later, he's called Yaakov. So he says, it's not that Yaakov will be ne'ekar rimkoimoi, but Yishem Yisrael will be Ikar and Yaakov will be Tofel. That is how we understand coming out of Mitzrayim and the final Geula. Why does it have to be that way? Because if the state of Geula is the natural state to be in, then we are always going back at some stage to that natural state. We will always rediscover that state of Geula, which means we always get back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. It can't be that Yetzias Mitzrayim was a stage on our journey, and we're walking in sort of, you know, a singular direction, and we never look back. We experienced it, and weitergegangen, and then we will experience something else at the end of time. That's impossible. If Geula is a natural state, then what we tasted when we came out of Mitzrayim is something that we will re-experience. And he says, he gives a moshel. He says, when you see a carpenter build a house, if the carpenter then dies, the house will still stand. Because the carpenter was only a sibor for the original construction, but not for the fact that there was an ongoing connection. He says, even with a father and a child, the same is true. Yetzias Mitzrayim, however, is something which is ongoing within us. And why is that important? Because it's important to understand that Geula is a natural state. Geula is inherent, and that informs our emuna in the fact that there will be a future Geula. We go from there to the opening posuk of last week's Sedra, one of last week's parashiyos, Masei. Ele Masei B'nei Yisrael. The Megala Mukos, as I mentioned, his yard says next Thursday, he says on that posuk, Romas Lono HaKadosh Baruch Hu has alluded, has hinted to all the four Golios that we will go through. And there will be 42 stages between the beginning of that fourth, of the first exile, and the end of the fourth exile. And this is alluded to in the Rosh Tevis of the words Ele Masei B'nei Yisrael, Edom, Modai, Bovel, and Yovon. Those are the four Golios that we will go through. Ele Masei B'nei Yisrael. These are the journeys that unfortunately we will go through. In Vayeschanon, the Megala Mukos adds that the four notes that we read in Kriyas HaTorah on these four words are Azla Geresh Munach Revi'i. We will be go into exile and we will be kept there for four elements, for four experiences, so to speak, of Godus. Azla Geresh Munach Revi. And he also says there that the idea that we mention in the first Brocha Shmina Esri, Umevi Goyel Livnevenehem, that eventually there will be a Geula, Mevi is also those four letters of Modai, Bovel, Yovon, and Edom. The same idea that tells us that we will be brought into Golus tells us that eventually we will come out of the Golus. He also sees this in the Posuk, which is the end of the Haftarah of Chazoinu, just before Tisha B'Av, Tzion B'Mishpot Tipode, v'shovel bitstoka, which, by the way, Agav, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zalmerfeld points out, tzirin b'mishpot tipodeh is gematria to the number Talmud Yerushalmi, v'shovel bitstoka is gematria to the number Talmud Bavli. Right, so this is just an insight into the genius of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zalmerfeld. But the Megala Mukos sees in Tzirin B'Mishpot Tipodeh something else. He says there is the posuk in Mishlei of Melech B'Mishpot Yamid Oretz. Through Mishpot is how the world will be standing in its required place. Melech B'Mishpot Yamid Oretz is the four letters, the four Rosh Tovis of Modai, Bovel, Yovon, and Edom. Similarly, he says, Matan Besese Yechape Af, which is exactly these four letters as well. So we have Psukim that refer to the idea that Geula comes through Mishpot, and we have Psukim that tell us that the Geula comes through Tzedaka. And therefore, it is unsurprising that Avraham Avinu is told, ki yedativ, lemana sheyetzave es bonov es beisei achrov, lasis tzedaka u'mishpot. Why am I giving Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu? Because I know he will instruct all future generations in the vital ideas of tzedaka u'mishpot, and they alone will be that which brings the Geula to us and which overcomes these four Golios. Now, as well as there being four overarching exiles, four directions in which we go, as the Maharal explained earlier, there are also, therefore, 42 stages within the four exiles. However, these are referred to as masois, travels. They are by definition temporary. None of them is referred to as a yishuv. It's not the natural state that we inhabit, as the Maharal explained earlier. Interestingly, the Mogen Avraham paskens, quoting the Tzur HaMoir, that when we call somebody up for an aliyah in Parshas Masay, we should not break up the 42 masois at all. There should not be a hefsek. Why? Says the Mogen Avraham. Because the 42 masois parallel the Shem Mem Beis, the 42 lettered name of Hashem, which is referred to in the Tefillah of Ono B'Koyach, which has 7 lines of 6 words, has the Shem Mem Beis within it. And therefore, it is not only a reflection of the negative stages of Golus, it is also the fact that ultimately we will emerge from the Golus into Geula. In fact, the Shem Mem Beis is therefore also used, in other words, we say the Tefillah of Ono B'Koyach, at the cusp, at the border between the Sheshes Yomim of the week and Shabbos itself. Just before we come into Shabbos, what brings us into Shabbos, what takes us away from Olam Hazeh and moves us into Me'ein Olam Haba, this Shem Mem Beis. The Arizal adds that the Membeis Masois, with regards to he talks about it with regards to Parshas Masai, he says that Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim with the Koyach of the Shem Membeis of Hashem. What does that mean? So he says the opening words of Sefer Shemois, of Ve'ele Shmois B'nei Yisrael Haboim Mitzrayim. Ve'ele is Gematria 42. Ve'ele was the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shemois was the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Klal Yisrael brought down with them into Mitzrayim in order to be able to experience an eventual Geula. It was Refuah Koidim Lamako. They came into Mitzrayim armed with the Shem Mem Beis, and that is how they eventually were Zoicha to have Geulas Mitzrayim. And that is why, agav, when we talk about Moshe Rabbeinu killing the Mitzri, how did he do so? With the Shem Mem Beis. And therefore, says the Ari, we have the Shem Mem Beis that brings Geula. How does that parallel the 42 Masois? Surely the 42 Masois are a bad thing. They are the Golus that we go through. They are the Masois, the temporary places that we experience. If the Shem Mem Beis is inherently Geula, is inherently bringing us to a place where we experience the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then in what way does this parallel the Mem Beis, the 42 places of Golus? So he explains, the Arizal explains, that there's a posuk that tells us, Vayenatzlu b'nei Yisrael es Mitzrayim. They emptied out Mitzrayim, says the Ari. This refers to the fact that Klal Yisrael removed all the Kedusha that existed in Mitzrayim when they left. And agav, that was why there was an Issa to return to Mitzrayim. Because it's a place that's now void of any Kedusha. As much as we did so in Mitzrayim, in order to prepare for going into Eretz Yisrael, we went through 42 stages, admittedly of Masois, but in each place, when we left, we took every inherent element of Kedusha that these 42 places had, and we removed it in order to experience the eventual Geula. The only way to come to the Geula is by going through 42 stages, not just as 42 stages of punishment, but as 42 places where our avoda is to take all of the inherent Kedusha that is there and remove it so that we have a hemshach to Yetzias Mitzrayim, a hashloma of Yetzias Mitzrayim by these 42 stages on the way. And the same will, Emet Hashem, be true of the final Geula. Now, there are three elements to Tisha B'Av itself. At night, it's Bochay Siv Kebalaila. We cry. We don't give explanations. We read what happened as a narrative. We read Megillas Eicha. In the morning, we say Kinnas. We expand, we analyze L'cha Hashem Atztoka, Arzei HaLevonoi. We go through the stages of Golus that we went through, and we understand it. We grapple with it. We expand upon it. And then there is the afternoon. And the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, there doesn't seem to be anything that we do. There doesn't seem to be any avoda whatsoever. In fact, the emphasis on not doing anything. There's just a complete lack. Even the fact that we're fasting just means that we're not eating. The world just seems to continue. What is the avoda of the afternoon of Tisha B'Av? There the avoda is to get to a place where we are not experiencing what Revolver refers to as Godus Hadas. As a result of having gone through the night and read about the goddess, as a result of having then gone through the day and having analyzed and understood the Golus, where we now have to go is to a place where we realize that within us we have the tools for Geula. That's why it's almost Olam Kaminahogoi Noheg. That's why we are almost experiencing a normal day in the afternoon of Tisha B'Av. We don't sit on a low chair. We put on tefillin. The avoda of Tisha B'Av afternoon is to understand that inherent echod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the inherent echod of myself, of who I am, of what I am here to do, of what potential I possess, so that I can then go on to put into action over the next 7 weeks, leading up to Rosh Hashanah, all of that which needs an actual tikkun. But on Tisha B'Av, what I need to do is be masakin in my mind where I went wrong and be aware of where I should be. I need to experience an element of geula during Tisha B'Av. A geula in my mind. A geula of reconnecting to that point of echod. A geula of reconnecting to my own element of existence. And the opposite of it is seen in the Gemara, famous Gemara, that tells us about the order of the Pesukim in Megillas Eicha. We know that with the exception of one Perek, the first four Perekim are in the Seder of the Aleph Beis. But within that Seder of the Aleph Beis, in three out of the four Perekim, the letter Pei comes before the letter Ayin. So that the Pesukim that start, or the Pesuk that starts with the letter Pei, comes before the Pesuk that starts with the letter Ayin. Says the Gemara, why? Hikdimu Pei La'ayin. The Meraglim, when they came back from their report, they said things, Omru B'Pei, Masha Loi Ro B'Ayin. They said things that they never saw. And therefore, we put the letter Pei before the letter Ayin. To which the obvious question is, if they said things that they never saw, then it's not a case of Hikdimu Pei La'ayin. Omru B'Pei, Masha Loi Ro. There shouldn't be a posset that starts with the letter Ayin. It's not that Pei becomes before the Ayin, it's that the Pei displaces the Ayin. And the answer is, says the Marshal, once they said it, they takasaw it that way. They experienced it that way. V'chein ho'yinu be'ineihem. They came to the conclusion that this is how the Nephilim are viewing us. How do you know? Have you spoken to them? Have you asked them? Have they said anything? No. You now are experiencing Golus. A Golus Hadas. You are deciding, and as a result, you're experiencing it. Being removed from the place where you should naturally, inherently be is the golus that we go through. And therefore, in the haftaras that lead up to Tisha B'Av, what are we urged to do? Shimu, chazayin, divrei. Understand how we should speak, hear, and see things. Understand so that on Tisha B'Av itself, we can get to a place where we are actually where we should be. And therefore, close with this, Rabbi Leff famously asks the question, why do we pour a fifth kos on Pesach if in the minhag of most kehilas is not to drink it? So he says the reason is because there's a fifth expression of Geula v'hevesi, of coming to Eretz Yisrael. But Vehevesi hasn't happened. When it happens, you'll pour the fifth kos and you'll drink it. What's this halfway stage of pouring it and not drinking it? So he says, if you look in the Psukim of Va'era, the first four expressions of Geula happen on autopilot. They just happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it happen. What needs to happen in order to get to the fifth expression? There's a posuk in between. V'yadatem ki ani Hashem. There needs to be das. There needs to be an understanding. And as the Novi says in the Haftarah that we read on Chazayin, Ami lo yodo Yisrael lo hisboino. If we don't think, if we don't have the ability to see things for what they are, to understand things for what they are, then we come to the mistaken conclusion. We pour out the fifth kois in order to have something to focus on. Tisha B'Av afternoon is also a time to focus. To focus on understanding the inherent echod that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the inherent echod that is myself, in order to bring me to back to my natural state, the state of Geula, which is waiting there for me, just like the Geula that I experienced, but Tseisi Mimitzri.